Well, welcome back, Fellowship family, to this episode of the Deeper Podcast, where we're going to have a discussion over applying the truths that we read in our daily devotion and then what we heard in the sermon on the weekend. And the big idea for this week is following Jesus is our response to the person and the work of Jesus. And joining us this week to be part of the Deeper Podcast, we have Brian Trias, our pastor of ministries. Welcome.
Hello.
Glad you're here, Brian. Then we also have Lee Congdon back. Lee, welcome.
Thank you.
We're so glad you guys both are here for this discussion. So before we talk about what's going to happen this next week, let's just talk a little bit about the Missional Life series. We just finished a series, and we're about to start a new series. So as you look back on the 6 weeks of the Missional Life, what was one takeaway that you had, or maybe you heard from somebody else that has really impacted you or someone else and you're continuing to process through post the series?
I think the largest takeaway that I had, and it wasn't something that was a new learning per se, but just the idea that Jesus is Lord over every sphere of the world, of every sphere of my life, that there's not places that I get to hold back for myself. And I don't think I would ever just say that, like there's this Jesus part and then there's the me part. But I think the way we operate a lot of times is my Jesus stuff is over there and my stuff's here. And I just think it was a really good reminder that he is Lord over every square inch of our existence in my life. So
then if when you think about then the church or home or your work, was there one of those spheres that Jesus is Lord is like challenging you in one of those areas?
I think always. I think that it's a little bit easier at work sometimes to think about Jesus being Lord over every, because I work at a church and like it's there a lot. And I think the temptation is for home to be a refuge, for home to be a place where I can kind of turn off for a little bit. But he is Lord over everything there as well. And so like I am doing kingdom business when I am at home. And that's something that I need to remember.
Yeah. Lee, what about you?
Well, interestingly enough, the phrase that I have continually been chewing on throughout the Missional Life series came from the series prior to the Missional Life series. It was a sermon you preached, Brian, during the Christmas season, and it was on Mary, and the phrase that you gave us was, "I am yours and I am in," just based on those words that Mary says to the Lord in response to the angel's news to her. And throughout the Missional Life series, I feel like that phrase is what just continually has been playing in my mind of whatever you call me to, Lord, in whatever area you're asking me to obey you in, to be on mission in, I'm yours and I'm in. And that's the mindset and the attitude that I want to have as a follower of Jesus. So I feel like it was the whole idea of the missional life that has been resonating with me rather than a specific point from one of the messages.
That's great. And, you know, I think the reason I bring that up is because that series, we want to be a springboard for the rest of what we're talking about. So as we go to the series on Follow Me, I don't want us to forget kind of the truths and the framework that we thought about there, because it does apply as we continue into this next series. With my community group, I think what I was really encouraged by, sharpened by, is within our group, no one else is in ministry. We have lots of people they work in government, they own their own businesses, they're stay-at-home moms, they're nurses, I mean, all the whole gamut. And I really enjoyed hearing them really wrestle. What does it look like to be intentional to demonstrate Jesus and to share Jesus with those in their workspaces? And it was just their realities and their challenges are just different than me being in ministry, what I have to wrestle with. I just have so much respect for people that are outside of ministry, that are in the workplace, that are in their homes full time, that are really navigating how do they be not just available, but intentional in how they serve and how they love and how they demonstrate the love of Christ and share the love of Christ. So I don't think we came up with all the answers, but I love that they're really wrestling. What does this look like? And so my prayer is as we continue through the rest of this year and even this next series, they and we're going to continue as a church family to figure out what does this look like to follow Jesus and all the different spheres that Jesus has us in. So we're beginning a new series, and Brian, you're preaching this weekend. Mm-hmm. Joe is about to, we're recording this on Thursday. Joe's about to leave to go to Sierra Leone. Mm-hmm. He's going to visit one of our church ministry partners there and speak at seminary there in Sierra Leone and be part of a church dedication. So we'll look forward to having him back, but while he's gone, you're preaching, and you're preaching over Mark chapter 1, 16 through 20, and then Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. As you prepared for this week, what was maybe like something that really struck you, hit you, resonated with you, something you saw differently maybe for the first time or remembered about as you prepared for this week?
Well, you mentioned that doing Mark and then the similar passage in Luke.
Yep,
and
yep.
As you read Mark, and we'll talk about it this weekend, it's a brief gospel. It's short, it's quick, it's to the point.
It's great for our generation, our time. It's like the Instagram version, you know?
Which is good, but sometimes getting the application out of it, it was a little intense.
Yeah.
It was like Jesus shows up, he tells them to follow him, and they leave everything, and they go and do it. And so just the taking the two passages and kind of putting them side by side and kind of understanding the fuller picture of what was happening and how the disciples, well, they were about to be disciples, how they saw who Jesus is, they interacted with him, they heard him teach, and then they were compelled and convinced to a point where they were willing to forsake everything to go and follow him. And it's good to be reminded of what their story is and what they did and how we can learn from it.
So Lee, I'm going to pose this next question to you. So when you read the passage and then also heard the message, what was your initial reaction to Jesus' invitation for his disciples and us to follow him? Because that's a huge invitation, a huge ask. So what was your initial reaction when you are hearing that, when you're processing that?
Right. I think that when you just think about the simple invitation of Jesus saying, follow me, I think our response is generally, well, of course, it's Jesus. I want to follow him. I have the word. I know he's God. I want to do whatever he asks of me. But when you read these passages and you have these stories put in front of you where these were men just doing their daily lives. And when Jesus says, follow me, he's not just saying like, come to, you know, say that I'm your Lord and go to church on Sundays and be a good person. He's saying, no, like, leave your life that you know, leave the people that you know, leave all your comforts and actually physically come after me and change everything. It really is a much bigger invitation, a much more, scary invitation, I think. It gives me pause to go, oof, am I really following Jesus the way that he's called me to? It kind of makes me question my commitment to following when I read this story.
Yeah, I think my reaction was very, very similar to you. It was, wow, this is when Jesus is calling his disciples to give up everything. It's intense and it's radical. And then I started thinking, okay, am I open and available to the big things that God may call me to, but also just the daily things that God's calling me to? And so if, as those that are listening to us, you know, we want you to begin to ask the question of, you know, if you haven't followed Jesus for the first time, this invitation to follow Jesus literally is trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you've done that and you haven't been baptized, then we want to invite you to take that next step of baptism. And then beyond that, it's, okay, what are the maybe the big things, but also just those daily things that Jesus is going to invite us into? What does it look like to follow him? So then, Brian, you laid out how the disciples, they were willing to do lots of things, but you encompassed it into three things. Mm-hmm. You said the disciples were willing to count the cost, to leave everything behind, and follow without all of the answers. So the question I'll ask us here and that I want a church family to wrestle with is, which of those steps are most likely to prevent you, me, from following Jesus? So when we think about the things that Jesus is inviting you into, which one of those three steps is where you're like, yeah, I'm gonna have to really struggle with that one?
I think honestly, the answer is gonna be all three of them at some point in every season. And so if counting the cost is like, doing the mental math in your head of, you know, if Jesus is asking me to give up this behavior or this season of my life, like, is it worth it to do that? And I think sometimes you don't even get past that stage. You're just like, ah, that's too much. That's too hard. And you kind of move on. I think in other times you kind of go in your head, okay, like, yeah, I think I'm supposed to do that. But then it's the reality. Like, I've actually got to take that step. I've got to leave a job, or I've got to stay in a situation, or I got to have a conversation. And, you know, the trust that's in your head and then the faith that gets lived out, sometimes it doesn't always go. And a lot of times we can get bogged down by not knowing the destination or not having the answer to a question. And it can be a little bit fearful. And I think of the rich young ruler. That's my brain thinks about that story a ton. And I've done all these things. I've crossed all these lines of, Jesus, sell everything you have and come follow me. And he went away heartbroken because, like, that's the one thing he couldn't give. And what's that thing for me? And will I be able to count the cost? Will I be able to leave it behind? Will I go even if I don't know where I'm going? And I would say all of them at some point for everyone, but that's kind of a cop-out answer.
You gave an example in your message about your transition from the family ministry team lead to the pastor of ministries. As you navigated through that process, which one of those three was the most challenging for you to really say, okay, God, I'm available, I'm going to do this?
Wow, that's a good question. I would say probably it was the counting the cost thing, because I knew how much I had valued things. I knew when I was leaving something behind, I wasn't like leaving a city. I was still going to have relationships. I was still going to be tangentially involved, but I wasn't going to be in them in the same way. And so really thinking through what were the things that I was going to be losing was probably the hardest part.
Yeah. Okay. Lee, what about you? What does this look like in your and your family's life?
Well, I, not to just agree with Brian, but I do.
He pushes back agree on us all the time. We have to push back on him.
I can try to push back a little bit, but the reality is that when you consider all three of those, what Jesus asks of us is all three of them. But for me, what I think we often do is when we count the cost, we mess with the numbers a little bit, right? We go, well, Jesus is going to ask me to give up this, but he may not actually ask me to give up this. And so I could follow him because it might not be as great a cost as I think. Or surely he wouldn't ask me to give that up, because that would just be mean, and God isn't mean. And I think what goes along with it is when you leave everything to follow him and you don't have all the answers and you don't always know where he's going to lead you, you don't always know the cost, right? So, for example, with fostering, and I'm sure you could say the same thing with your journey with adoption, Jeremy, for you and Paige, that we said yes to this call that Jesus gave us to follow him. And we knew it was going to cost us something, but we didn't actually know how great of a cost. And so we couldn't necessarily count the cost because we didn't know. We had to say yes, we will follow you, even though we don't know how much it's going to cost. And then it's a continual yes in those daily decisions, right? So it was the initial bigger yes, and then it's the daily yeses. Okay, we'll continue. You're asking us now to lay this down. Okay, we'll keep following you and wrestling with each step along the way. If you really want to follow Jesus, you have to do all three. You have to count the cost. You have to leave everything, and you have to choose to follow him without having the answers, because we won't have them. And so, the answer really is all three. I don't know if there's a hardest.
So you brought up the example of fostering. So what has it looked like, not in your big decision to say, yes, I'm going to be available to that, but some of your daily things, like just give us some examples of when you've been challenged of the cost was greater than you thought. You're being asked to leave some things behind that you don't want to, and you're following in the midst of not having answers, what are some of those daily practices, some of those daily things that you've done to follow Jesus and be faithful in those areas?
Well, I think you can apply this idea of following Jesus and it costing us something to literally every aspect of life, right? So one small example is to follow Jesus in his call on us to pray continually over this situation. Mm-hmm. So foster, when you commit to foster, or you are a parent, or you are going into any, really any life situation, it has to be covered in prayer. It has to be consistently covered in prayer. And yet often, as believers, we don't. And so coming back to that again and again, when Jesus says, follow me, okay, that means I need to wake up early enough to get on my knees. Mm-hmm. That means I need to make the space and the time to be still before him. And that means I might be leaving behind sleep or leaving behind, you know, the time that I would have spent doing something else that might feel more productive in the moment. So that's one example. Another would be like when I have a foster son who is throwing a tantrum because he's two, and two-year-olds do that, and I have to be patient and discipline with godliness. Like, I mean, it's not different from parenting our biological children, mm-hmm. right? Like, that is still counting the cost and leaving everything to follow him, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. But then you can get into maybe some more challenging moments where we have to drop him off at a home that we don't think is safe because the law tells us we need to. And also God has called us to mm-hmm. that because he has a biological family that he's also called us to come alongside, not just to care for this child, mm-hmm. but to care for his biological family. And so then it's the saying yes to putting this child that I love at risk knowingly, because we've said yes to following Jesus. Mm-hmm. That feels really complex and hard and something we have to wrestle with sometimes. Kind of like Simon in the boat with Jesus going, okay, Jesus, this doesn't make sense. Like, we just had our nets in the water all night long. Nothing happened. What you call us to doesn't make sense, but at your word, okay, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And so we have to come back to that again and again. At your word, Lord, we will do this. Yeah. And we don't always do it well. Sometimes we don't say yes, and then we pay for it.
Yeah. So I was actually going to answer the question, and I was going to say that I think the thing that I struggle being of the three steps to do is leaving everything behind. I think, well, you talked about it, of we can count the cost, and then maybe we don't fully calculate the cost. We say, oh, yeah, the cost that I understand, I'm willing to do that. And then the unknown, it's like, okay, God, I'm going to have faith in that. But then if God really does, and when he does really call us to leave everything, when the rubber meets the road, like, are we going to actually do that? Mm-hmm. And so I think those are the times when, for me, it's like, oh, yeah, I knew God called me to this thing, and I said yes, but man, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And would God really call me to do something that's really this hard? Mm-hmm. And so in those moments are the times that definitely need prayer and need the silence, mm-hmm. the solitude, to seek the wisdom from the Lord, need to have a deep relationship with my wife and be a partner with her on that, invite others into what's going on to pray for us, to allow them to serve us and come alongside us with whatever the thing that we're navigating is. And I think there's been seasons in my life where maybe that would be easier, but now it's like with kids and different stage of life, okay, would I really be willing to give up, you know, my home or a vehicle, or as silly as it is, our other house didn't have like a closet for us. Now our house right now has a closet. Like, would I be willing to give that up? Like, just some of these simple things of, mm-hmm. if God were really going to call me to a different position or like whatever it might be, like, would I be willing to leave everything? And some days it's yes and some days it's no. And I think that's where this is just, it's an invitation to faith, where we see the disciples, like, they did not know what all it was going to cost them. I mean, martyrdom, giving up their families, like all this stuff. But I don't think if we asked them, hey, do you regret your decision, that any of them would say that they regretted their decision. Mm-hmm. I think all of them looking back and now being up in heaven with Jesus would say it was 100% worth it, even though the cost was way more than I ever anticipated that it would be. You know, one example I just want to give from our church family that I've seen that they counted the cost. They were willing to leave everything behind and follow with all the answers are Dan and Diana Hutchison. So their son, Adam, leads a missionary team over in the Philippines. And obviously as a missionary, like they've sacrificed so much. But his parents here, they have sacrificed by supporting, encouraging, sending their son. They've sacrificed being grandma and grandpa in a very like physical way. I mean, they see their grandkids yearly, something like that. They have purchased a home here in Topeka that they use as a missionary care home. So instead of making extra income or all this type of stuff, they make this home available for missionaries when they come back home to be able to have respite. And then they've helped mobilize our church family to help care for our missionaries and this type of thing. So instead of going from a place of being like, I don't want my son and my daughter-in-law and my grandkids to be over there, they said, no, we're going to celebrate that. We're going to sacrifice things for us, not just our time with them, but even our resources now, our energy now to help not just support them, but even other people. And so I've just loved serving with them, seeing their example and just their heart to be available and give up whatever it's going to take to help see disciples raised up around the world. So I'm very thankful for them. Okay, here's our final question for the day. Where is Jesus calling you to follow him? And I know in different seasons in life, sometimes it's going to be there's this big thing on the horizon that I'm kind of scared that God may be calling me to this. And, you know, maybe that's where you're at. And sometimes it's going to be more of maybe a daily sacrifice or a daily discipline or a relationship or something like that. So for you guys right now, where do you sense God's calling you to follow him?
Do you want to go? Do you want me to go?
You were thinking. I feel like
I am thinking. I don't.
I was like, he's preparing the sermon. He's asking everybody else. He has to have an answer to this, right?
I don't even really know how to share what's in my head.
Share what's in your heart then, Brian.
Oh, both of those feelings that I have. Okay. This is a season of busyness for my wife and I. Mm-hmm. And we joke about our calendar and all the things that we have on it, the relationships that are on it. And I truly don't feel called to say no to things right now. Mm-hmm. And yet it can be easy to feel overwhelmed. It can be easy to feel like it's not letting up. And yet I've said yes to a couple of additional things because I really felt it was what I was supposed to do. And so do I trust that God is going to provide the strength and God is going to provide the endurance and the wisdom and the words that are needed in the moment? Because I've been given outs. I've had so many people say, hey, you have too much on your plate. Let me not do this. And I just haven't felt compelled to say yes to that. I feel like I've had what I've needed as I've gone. And so I think so many times when I talk with people, it's you need to cut things out of your life and have more time to do that. And that's the way that they can trust. And for me in this season, I think it's, do you trust that I'm going to be able to sustain you and provide through you for these things? And I have not felt overwhelmed, even though sometimes I feel like I should be overwhelmed, if that makes sense. I don't know if anything I just said made sense, but it made sense to me. So,
well, I feel like that's a good reminder, too, that when Jesus calls us to follow him, and yes, it's going to cost something, but he also provides what we need to lay down our lives, right? Like, he gives us life on the other side of us laying them down. And so him sustaining you, giving you what you need in order to say yes to following him doesn't mean it's easy, but knowing that he's faithful, he's not going to abandon us or forsake us in the midst of us following him is a good reminder to hold on to. For me, so I'm reading this book right now called The Gospel Comes with a House Key, and it's about radically ordinary hospitality and just opening up your home and your life and your heart consistently, sacrificially, radically. And I've wrestled with it because sometimes I'm reading this book and I'm like, but boundaries are healthy. And have had to ask the Lord, like, what is it that, how much do you want me to lay down? And he continually keeps saying to me, all of it. I want you to lay down all of it. And I don't want to most days, right? So this sermon just aligns, I think, really well with what God is already teaching me, that in my day-to-day life, to have a posture of saying yes to the Lord immediately, as Mark seems to highlight every time he calls on me to do something. And that includes speaking out loud about the gospel to the people around me without fear and with boldness. I don't know.
That's great.
Those are my initial thoughts.
Yeah, for me, I've definitely had seasons where God has called me to make some big radical shifts and changes and be open and available to that. In this season, I really sense it's just the daily sacrifices is where I'm at. So before even obviously this series or stuff, my word for the year is sacrifice. And so I need to really be intentional of how am I daily sacrificing my needs and wants for things that cost money so that we can have more flexibility with our finances to be a blessing to others, but also allow my wife to work less and for us to, you know, get our kids the things that they need in this season. How am I sacrificing the way that I'm serving and loving my family, you know, when I'm home and being intentional and fully present with them? My parents, their marriages, they're just having some struggles and challenges right now. So how do I sacrifice in different ways so that I can help be a blessing in that? How can I be intentional to have enough margin in my life that I can sacrifice to be a good friend when friends have different needs? So in this season, it's just a season that's just not about me. And I know every season isn't, but I think this has been the season I felt the most that it's not about me. And I'm having to be okay with that and learn and grow in that. So that's what it looks like for me right now. It's that daily sacrifice of how do I be intentional to sacrifice to be able to be a blessing to those around me. Okay. Unless if you guys got anything else, we're going to close in prayer.
Good.
Okay. Lee, would you close us in prayer?
Sure. God, we are so grateful that you have given us the same call that you gave the disciples to follow you. And we want to, because we know that it leads to life and that you are the safest place that we could be. But we forget that often, and we think that there are things worth following other than you. And I just pray that you would bring us back again and again and again to see you as the only thing, the only person to follow, the only voice to listen to. God, I pray for the community groups as they discuss this message. Lord, I pray that you would be in the midst of them, be bringing your word to light and revealing to us the places where you're asking us to follow you, where you're inviting us to follow you. And Lord, open up our hearts to receive that call and to be willing to count the cost and to leave everything and to go without having the answers, without knowing exactly where it's going to lead, but to trust you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lee, Brian, thank you so much for being a part of this episode of the Deeper Part podcast and this conversation. And church family, thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time.